Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. And as you know, on each show I interview an expert in an area of health and well-being, or of life generally, about how to manage our often busy and stressful lives. And in fact, we're having a complete focus on stress in this show. So I'm joined by Kate Siraj of the Ayurveda practice in Hampton. And you might actually remember, those of you who've listened to these shows for a while now, that we've had Kate before on this show doing a more general what Ayurveda is explanation and overview. So if you want to go back to that, it's on my website, joannesumner.com. Just look for the Brooklands Radio tab on that website. So welcome, Kate.
Hello, thank you for having me again.
Oh, my pleasure. And I really wanted to get into stress and what we can do to manage our stress, but coming at it from a very particular angle. And I think it would be useful to give a little overview of Ayurveda and the Ayurvedic way of looking at the world to give us some context. So maybe we start there and then we're going to delve in and give people the most practical experience that we can. So tell us about Ayurveda in general.
Well, very briefly in general, it's the Indian traditional form of medicine. So it's very, very old, with a great track record. And the great thing about Ayurveda is it's very holistic. So it looks at each person as an individual and not a sum of their ailments. And the treatment approach is sort of an all-encompassing approach, which's got diet, lifestyle, herbal medicines, hands-on techniques, purifying treatments. So it's quite a large topic. But within that, the really unique thing about Ayurveda, which a lot of people get quite interested in, is the diagnostic system which we use, which is involves the three doshas. And everyone's got a combination of these three doshas, but usually has one primary dosha or sometimes two primary doshas. And these are basically mind-body principles. They have biological parts to them and energetic properties as well. And they're present in every cell, every tissue, every organ in the body. So we look at every patient who comes to see us and everybody through the eyes of these three doshas.
Okay. I have so many questions. I have to get them one out at a time. So the first thing is, how do you know which dosha you are? Because lots of us, probably our experience of the doshas is going back some years now, but back to the body shops, dosha-based products 10, 15 years ago, which I remember and finding absolutely fascinating and having not a clue, actually, which one I was and not being able to relate to these very short descriptions. So how would you know?
Well, sometimes it's more complicated than it seems, which is why it is tricky, because there's two parts to it. One is the doshic components of us, which make our constitution. So basically what we're born with and what something really should stay with us throughout most of our life. But unfortunately, we do lots of things to make these doshas go out of balance. We eat the wrong things. We live erratic lifestyles, just the way we are in the modern world. These doshas go out of balance. So what you may look at yourself and think, oh, well, I've got this dosha or that dosha. Mm. And actually, that's your imbalance, which needs correcting to take you back to your constitution.
Right.
So that is, it really needs quite an expert view sometimes to work out. But the most important thing is to go from an imbalance back to your natural state. And that's what a lot of Ayurveda is about.
And so does that tie into an idea that as children, we're more likely to be in our natural state and then we go off that because of perhaps the environment we've been raised in, or, you know, going on to school, going on to work? Are those the sorts of things that can take you into imbalance?
Yeah, absolutely. Children, you can really see people's natural state when they're sort of in their teenage years. It really starts to be more obvious. Sometimes it's not as obvious when they're children, because they're very much in the kapha stage, which is one of the doshas anyway. But when you get to teenage years, it's more easy to see. But I could quickly say what these doshas to make it clearer to people. The first one is Vata, which is based on the elements of air and space. And it's really, this dosha regulates the movement and changes in our bodies and our minds. And so if someone has a predominance of that, or has their constitution of that. Their nature is very much about movement, change, and the tendency to be always on the go, energetic and creative, lively, enthusiastic. A bit like you, Jo. Physically, they're quite likely to have quite a lean body due to that.
Which is less me, people.
and then there's the second one is Pitta, which is woven from the elements of fire and water, mainly fire. So you think of sort of heat when you think of this dosha. And because of that, you can understand really that governs the digestion and metabolism in the body, not just of our physical bodies, but also how we digest and metabolize information and experiences. So we'll have strong people who have this predominant dosha will have strong appetites and strong digestion, again, both physically but also mentally. So they'll be very kind of intelligent and alert, but in a very focused, driven, kind of goal-oriented kind of way. And lastly, the other dosha is Kapha, which is the one that in Indian terms everyone wants to have, which isn't
so
much here.
That's
it's quite
interesting.
Yeah, it's a real cultural difference. Because it's comprised of earth and water, so it's a very grounded dosha. And in the body, it maintains and looks after the structure of the body, connective tissue, and also in the mind as well, and keeps it stable. And so if you have a predominance of that, you're going to be solid, reliable, contented, loyal, and have an inner sense of stability. And that comes across as compassion and warmth towards others as well. So that's sort of a very, very brief overview of what those three doshas are.
And it fascinates me, that difference between the cultures, because you're absolutely right. That's not at all. I would see us as a culture as probably between the Pitta and Vata, and actually devaluing the Kapha dosha, because being contented, being reliable, what's sexy about that?
Absolutely. And from a physical point of view, the Kapha person is the one who's generally just got a little bit more sort of solidity to them, a little bit more sort of curviness to them, quite luxurious hair and skin and eyes and things like that. But really, that kind of slightly weightier kind of person is not what we all aspire to. People think they want to be more like the Vata type. But actually, that's the person who's generally less resistant to things like stress, to things like diseases. Yes. So it's actually sometimes better to have a Kapha constitution, because you're just more stable and able to deal with the world.
So let's talk about the stress element then, because with such differences between the three types, and yes, you know, we can have more than one influence, so definitely taking that on board, it suggests that there would be different approaches to managing stress according to which constitution you might have. So I'd love to look at that, because that could be really helpful for people. So let's take the Vata first then, seeing as we've done it that way. So with the Vata, it's all about the movement, it's the rush, it's the go, it's the excitement, you know, the va-va-voom, as I would see it, or the joie de vivre. How is that manifesting stress-wise, and where might you start with helping somebody?
Well, stress-wise, someone who has more of the Vata dosha about them is going to be much more affected by stress anyway. Going to be much more knocked by it. And when they're stressed, they're going to have a lot of anxiety and worry, and they'll tend to blame themselves for everything that goes wrong, and physically might start to get insomnia, for example. So to help them, there's physical things you can do as well as helping on the mental side. Ayurveda puts a lot of emphasis on meditation, particularly for someone of a Vata constitution like that. And also for someone who has Vata, trying to get a lot of routine in their life. So it might be the last thing they want to do, but actually the most helpful thing for them to do. And also, dietary wise, something grounding, nourishing food, making sure there's enough oil in it, which a lot of people may not always be doing, good oils.
Yeah.
Because if you think about Vata as the dry element, then you need to be putting oil onto the body and into the body. So nice oily massages, keeping comfortable and warm, because of the Vata is also a cold element. So if they're getting stressed out, really kind of finding ways to keep them really grounded, which is the opposite of what the Vata element is doing. And in terms of tastes of food, sweet, sour and salty foods would be, those tastes would be helpful for Vata.
And so they're avoiding, what are they avoiding?
The other ones would be bitter, astringent and pungent.
Okay. Okay. So then with the Pitta personality, I don't know if you can call it a personality, let's reframe, constitution. What would you see if somebody was stressed and they have mainly Pitta, and then again, how do we help?
You would see someone who is quite angry, right, possibly blaming other people for the situation they're in, so blaming external factors, and physically maybe getting something like high blood pressure, for example, migraines. And how you would help them is really thinking about the word cool in all sense. So cooling. So cooling the mind. So cooling breathing, like pranayama. Also, again, using massage, but this time using coconut oil, which is a cooling oil. And also, for a Pitta person, when they get stressed, they get over-focused and over-intense. So actually just encouraging them to have some fun and do something completely not connected to this form of stress, but something they enjoy that's not competitive.
Right.
And trying to get some joy and excitement into their life rather than this over-focus and overdrive. Food-wise, again, anything that's cooling, but that's just the qualities of the food rather than having cold food necessarily.
Right, okay.
Those tastes are sweet, bitter and astringent.
Okay. And I'm going to add it now so that we remember, but if people wanted to find out which foods fall into those categories, because not everybody's going to know what's an astringent food or what's a bitter food, where can they just find a list of things that would fall into those different categories or...
There are various websites for that. Obviously, you need to know what you're trying to correct first. So it's quite useful to talk to someone who knows about that first. And that person would also be able to help you choose
know
the right foods
things.
As well. Obviously, if you're fairly healthy already and just trying to avoid having any problems, eat a really nice measured mix of all the tastes, having all of those tastes in every meal.
Okay, and so that's distinguishing between bringing something back from imbalance to balance, and if you're generally balanced, just maintaining that. Okay, great. So let's finish with our kapha constitution and how they manifest. Do they even feel stressed? They're so contented.
Well, exactly true. They are the most stable, so they're the least likely to get knocked by the stress. But when they do, what they'll probably tend to do is to withdraw from it and sort of ignore it and possibly get quite depressed.
Yes.
And lethargic, and physically maybe gain some weight, that kind of thing. So what you want to be able to do for a kapha person is to actually stimulate them. So not in the same area where the stress came from, but something that they can apply their mind to that can sort of stimulate them back out of that sort of low energy. So for example, even something simple like getting them to do more crosswords or something, you know, something to really apply the mind to. And also stimulating in a physical sense, like doing sort of a dry, vigorous massage on the body, exfoliating kind of massage to get sort of the body working and moving, getting the blood circulating. And obviously exercise, really useful for a kapha type, something you actually can work up a little bit of a sweat doing.
And so can you be Vata kapha?
Yes.
Okay. So you could be any combination of all three as well. And could you ever be all three?
If you're very lucky, you will have a really nice uniform mix of all three.
Okay.
And that, the reason you're very lucky is because the one that's higher in you is generally the one that tends to go out of balance.
Yeah.
But if you've got a nice mix of all three, then one always seems to sort of balance the other and you end up having a very healthy, resistant, stable type of body and mind, but it's quite uncommon to find that.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting actually, and I'm aware we're coming to the end of our time and I still have so many questions. And I'm sure actually that's the same for the listeners. So how do they contact you if they want to find out more and just find out more about this whole subject or come and see you?
Well, my website is probably the best place to go. It's www.theayurvedapractice.com. Ayurveda is spelt A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A. And on there, you've got my contact details, but also lots of interesting things about Ayurveda. And I have a blog there as well with new articles about diet and lifestyle.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Kate.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And see you again next time on Feel Good with Jo in 2 weeks' time. Brooklyn's Radio.